You're listening to the Data Flowcast, the podcast about Apache Airflow and the world of data and AI around it. We are excited to invite you to Orchestrate Everything, our free online conference on September 16th. Engineering leaders from Lyft, Ramp, and Wix will share how they're shipping production AI workflows on Airflow, plus a crash course for the new Astronomer Certified AI Orchestration Fundamentals exam. Attendees get a discount code for a free certification, a $150 value. Go to astronomer.link/data-flowcast-oe, link in the show notes. Now, let's get into the show.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Marc Lomerti, and today I'm super excited to be joined by Ivana Izailovic, Big Data Engineer at Synchron. First thing first, how are you doing today?
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here and I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm especially excited about today's topic because Airflow is something I worked with very close every day.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this because actually, you know, about today's podcast, we will deep dive into orchestrating strictly sequential ETL pipeline. I think you have like a way of doing things that I think is truly interesting. Also, how did you survive about the sub-DAG deprecation? Because sub-DAGs have been very popular for a while, but as you will tell us, you actually did the migration. And then also we will talk about adapting custom retry logic all the way through Airflow 3. So a lot of things to cover. So without further ado, let's dive into this amazing episode. So first thing first, can you introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about what you do at your company?
Okay, as you said, my name is Ivana and I work as a senior big data engineer. And in my daily work, I'm mostly focused on big data, ETL processes, data processing, and orchestration. So basically, I work on making sure the data from different sources is important, transformed, validated, and then made available for reports or some kind of analytics. And a big part of my role is orchestration. As I mentioned, connecting different steps in a pipeline, making sure that they run in the right order, handling retries, monitoring alerts, and overall pipeline stability. And as you know, Airflow plays a very important role in that because for us, it's not just a scheduler. It's the central place where we control and monitoring the whole data pipeline.
Well, I think what you described will resonate a lot with many data engineers. I think like they will all feel that they are doing exactly what you are doing. So, can you actually just out of curiosity, because you just said that Airflow is crucial, but when you joined your company, Airflow was already there.
I think okay. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. So. Actually, I'm just going to keep that. I have a question for you. But first thing first, can you tell us a little bit more about the data stack that you have today? And where does Airflow fit in?
Okay. On the current project, our stack has several main components. We use Snowflake as a data source. Then we load and organize data in MongoDB using Medallion architecture. Bronze, silver, and gold layers. We use Spark for transformations and the processing, Airflow for orchestration, for monitoring and error handling also, and Elasticsearch for storing reports that we are used for application later. And Airflow is basically, as I said, control center of the system. It decides when each ETL process starts, in which order task runs, what happens if something fails and when notifications or alerts should be sent. And without Airflow, the pipeline would be very hard to control, and because we had many, many dependencies between processes. And it's not just run a Spark job. The whole flow has to be happen in the correct order.
Okay. Well, actually, that creates a bridge to my next question. Which is, you just mentioned that you are using Airflow for orchestrating your ETL jobs, maybe more than just ETLs. Do you have like any, like maybe other, you know, Like maybe machine learning use cases, things like that also? Or is it just like mostly
No,
ETL?
this no, just ETL in this
Okay.
project, yeah.
Okay. And you just mentioned that dependencies, I mean, you definitely have to execute things in the right order, which is definitely what Airflow is made for. But can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the ETL processes that you have today, and you know, why do you actually require this sequential order that it is, you know, so important for you? Because I think you also have a way to do, you know, things that are interesting.
Yeah, this was actually one of the points where things become really interesting and
Okay.
honestly a bit painful at the beginning,
Okay.
because at first we tried to solve it using the standard Airflow options. We looked at configurations, dug run limits. We try to use pools, different dependency setups, and so on. Basically, everything that seems to, like it could help, but every solution solved just one part of the problem that we had. And at
Okay.
the same point, in some point, we were stuck and
Okay.
not completely desperate, but close, because we realized that the problem was bigger than just how we stopped to Doug from running at the same time. And the real question was here, how do we control the full execution flow across multiple Dugs, especially when some of them can be triggered at any moment from the application side? And
Okay.
we had to take a step back, sit down, and literally draw the whole process end to end, which Dugs exist, what they touch, which collection they use, which layers they write to, and what could go wrong if two processes overlap. And the
Okay.
main reason for strict sequential execution was that was data consistency. All of these Dugs were used to the same MongoDB collections at the same layers. And in the browse layer, data could be overwritten by a new snapshot. In silver,
Okay.
we had cleaned and prepared data. In gold, we had aggregated data used by the application reports. And so if the two Dugs run in the same time and change the same collection or layer in layers, we could easily end up with collision
Right.
inconsistency data or partially processed results. And that's why the sequential order execution was not just nice to have, it was absolutely necessary for our case.
Wow. So now I need to learn more about like how did you solve that? Because I'm sure that it's a very, very common issue, you know, in the like for many engineers. Like how did you what did you try?
Before building a custom solution, we
Yeah.
first tried to use what Airflow already have. We started with the Dug level configuration, of course, like limiting the number of active Dug run. That helped a little because the
Okay.
same Dug could not run multiple times in parallel. That was great, but it didn't solve the biggest problem here. Different Dugs could still run at the same time. And then we looked at pools also. Pools are useful when you have to limit some many tasks, but in our case, it wasn't a problem. And our problem was on a higher level. We needed to control the execution order of entire Dugs, not just individually task or individually Dug. And the
Yeah.
biggest challenge, yeah, can you?
No, I was about to say, so yeah, it's really like you actually want to have multiple DAGs that need to run one after the other. It's not because like you know for people that are wondering about pools, pools allow you to you know control the parallelism of your tasks. So basically, if you want to execute one task after another, you can do that with pool and then you set one slot to that pool, but you will have to attach all the tasks to that pool, but still it doesn't solve truly the issue that now you have Ivana with the DAGs that should not run multiple DAGs that should not run at the same time. So yeah, I just
Yeah,
sorry.
it was the problem here. And the biggest challenge, as I said, was that the some Dugs are scheduled and the other Dug was even event driven. And
Okay.
that event driven Dug could be triggered at any moment from the application. And that's why we need to have a controlled queue. And we need to have the right order when one DAG runs and so on. So standard Airflow configuration was not enough for us. We needed something like control queue, as I said, that could decide which process was allowed to run next. And that's why we built a custom orchestration layer for that.
So tell me more about this layer that you built.
Yeah, in the end, we created a three-layer DAG architecture. The first layer is the scheduler or trigger DAGs. They are the entry point into the system. Some are scheduled, for example, for daily imports, and some are event-driven, triggered by user applications from application side. And their job is not just to run the full ETL process directly. Their job is to register a request and say, this process needs to be executed. And next one, the second layer, is the proxy DAG. And this here we get the magic. This is the most important part of the solution because the proxy DAG controls the queue and decides which process can run next. It checks if there is already an active DAG, what is waiting in the queue, what has priority, or whether the next process is allowed to start. And so instead of every DAG decide independently when to run, everything needs to go through the proxy layer. And the proxy layer is the main brain here. The third layer is the main ETL DAGs. These DAGs contain the actual logic, data import transformation, validation, and so on. And these design help us separate responsibilities. A trigger DAG, as I said, initiate requests. The proxy controls execution order, and main DAGs go to the actual processing. And basically, we solve our problem with this architecture.
This is super interesting. I have a few questions. So the what exactly is this queue? Like technically speaking, what is this queue? Is it like a Kafka queue? Is it like what is it?
It's a DAG queue.
Okay, I see. So those layers, are they like how they are built? Are they like all like what is exactly a layer? Is it like a DAG? Or
Yeah,
is it
everything. Yeah,
Okay,
it's
so each
DAG.
layer is actually a DAG.
Yes. We have
Okay.
a scheduler. We have several scheduler DAGs. And we have
DAGs,
just
okay.
one proxy DAG, and we have several main DAGs.
Okay, I see. 'Cause like I'm just wondering because some people may think that it might be like a plugin that you build or a Python script that you run. I think like I mean we also talk a little bit more about I mean previously before this episode we discussed a little bit more about how how your DAGs are written and how they are generated and so on. I think you have some DAGs that have a lot of tasks, and I was just wondering like how do you handle that? Like how do you handle the creation of your DAGs, I will say. Do you use like, a Python script to generate some of your DAGs? Do you have like some templates? Do you have, dynamic loops, whatever? Like, can you tell us a little bit more of how you author those DAGs? Because I imagine that you have all of those layers in place. I mean, those three layers in place, but I imagine that your DAGs are really standardized as well, so that they can actually run.
Yeah, of course, we have DAGs with approximately 200 tasks. And of course, we definitely did not write 200 tasks manually. That will be impossible to maintain. And the idea was to make the DAG structure usable and configuration driven. And each main DAG has several logical sections here. On the top level, it looks like much simpler, maybe around 30 or 40 main steps, but inside those steps we use task groups, and
I
it's
see.
inside of task group we have more task groups, and on that way we create dynamically generated tasks here. When everything is expanded, we get around 200 tasks per DAG. Yeah, and also we use configuration file define what changed between different DAGs versions. For example, which collections are used, which steps are active, which parameters are needed, how monitoring works, and so on. Also, versioning was very important for us. And after every release or hotfix, we increase the DAG version. And DAG version, that number is related with the release number. And that helps us keep a clean and controlled pipeline without new logic affecting already running processes. And we solve that on that way. And with large DAGs like this, monitoring is crucial. It's not enough to know what some that something failed. You need to know where it failed and why it failed, and whether you can safely restart only that part. That was the logic behind all this.
This episode is brought to you by Astronema, the team behind Astro, a managed airflow platform built for data engineering teams. From batch pipelines to training models and wiring up agents, Astro handles the infrastructure, upgrades, and scaling so you can focus on building. Check it out at astronema.io.
Okay, and so those configuration files, are they like YAML files?
Yeah, we use YAML file for the configuration file.
Great. So you actually mentioned task groups, which I think is a definitely interesting feature. It's a simple one, but it's actually a very useful one because, to your point, when you have like hundreds of tasks, sometimes thousands of tasks, grouping your tasks together might be a good idea, especially if you don't want like to actually almost crash the UI, or at least you won't be able to navigate through your DAG because there will be way too many tasks. But before task groups, you were not using them, obviously. You were using something different, which I think was the sub-DAGs. And sub-DAGs were very popular. Can you tell us a little bit more of how did you migrate from the sub-DAGs to the task groups? Because task groups are easier to use than sub-DAGs, but I think like many people actually had to migrate, and you are the first person that finally will tell me how they did that migration.
Sub-DAGs were useful for us because they allowed us to split one large ETL process, one large DAG, into logical parts, as I said before. For example, one part can be import data, another transformations, another validation, and so on. If only one part failed, we could retry just part instead of rerunning the whole DAG. That was the point here. And when some DAGs became deprecated, we had two main options. The first one was to replace each sub-DAGs with a separate DAG. From retry perspective, that made sense, but each logical part could be triggered or retried independently. And however, for our case, we would lose the visibility of the full pipeline in one place and introduce more complexity around dependencies, triggering logic, status tracking, error handling, and so on. Since we already had strict sequential execution requirements, splitting everything into many separate DAGs would make the system harder to monitor and control. And that was the main reason why we moved to task groups. And task groups are better for organizing tasks visualization inside one DAG, but they do not have behavior exactly like sub-DAGs. And that was the first challenge here. So the main thing we lost was that availability to retry a whole group as one logical unit. So we built custom retry logic on the top of task groups. In Airflow 2.9, we solved this through the metadata DB. Based on the task group identifier, we knew which task instance belongs to that group. So we need to retry the group. Our logic restart the state of those task instances, so Airflow could run that part again. The important thing is that this was not a random manually database update. It was control logic inside our orchestration layer. So that gave us the same practical benefit as before. Now we have task groups, but with a retry mechanism as sub-DAG.
Which is amazing, right? I mean, I think like many, many people actually had this issue when task groups, came to, I don't remember the Airflow version, but when they actually replaced the sub DAGs, like people were like, okay, This is great, but also like now I cannot retry my task group. I have to retry like each task one by one. I don't want to do that. And so I think like many people actually did the exact same solution that you just described. But in Airflow 3, I believe this is not possible anymore, right? So
Yeah,
tell
of
us more
course.
about how did you solve again this with Airflow 3?
Again, unexpected behavior. With the Airflow 3, we had to change this approach because relying directly on the metadata DB was no longer the right direction
Right.
because of the new architecture, Airflow architecture. So we moved to the retry logic to the Airflow REST API. Now, instead of directly changing the metadata DB's DB tables, we communicate with Airflow through the official APIs. Now we need to control a Dag run. When we need to control Dag run task instance or anything else, or retry behavior, we do that through supported endpoints. And this is better for several reasons. The first one is more stable across Airflow versions. Because if you rely on internal database, a table, something can change after an upgrade, as we had experience in previous versions, the Airflow versions. And the
Right.
second, it's more secure. Also, I think that the architecture is clearer now, and Airflow remains responsible for its own internal state, and we interact with it through the official API layer. So finally, it is easier to maintain and explain to the new team member also. So in Airflow 2.9, our metadata DB solution worked, but with Airflow 3, we modernized it basically.
Yeah, and I think this is like for people that are wondering, so in Airflow 3 now you cannot access the Airflow metadatabase directly anymore. For a good reason, like for security reason. Like honestly, I mean it was good for us, but it was also a little bit hacky, right? You should not expect that your DAGs could access the Airflow metadatabase, so that's why this has been changed. But it's to your point, it's way more elegant to use the Airflow REST API. Especially as in Airflow 3, I think, I mean, basically they keep adding new endpoints so you can do more and more things with the Airflow REST API. It's much better than it used to be. So I'm glad that you overcame this issue again. I hope that in Airflow 4 you won't have to to come up with something else. Awesome. Thank you so much, Ivana. Time flies. We are already I think it's already What already? Yeah, it's already 30 minutes. I have to ask you first, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you? If they have any questions regarding your solution, and again, like all of the common issues that you actually solved.
Okay, thank you. First, thank you for having me. It was really great
Of
talking
course.
about this. And the best way to get in touch with me is through LinkedIn, of course. And I'm always happy to connect with the people with the same topics and so on. So I want to add something. I think these kind of challenges are very interesting because they show the orchestration is not just only for scheduling jobs, and Airflow is not just for that. There are always unexpected situations where you have to learn something new, and you need to adapt and find a practical solution. So for me, that part of the work was really interesting. And yeah, everyone can feel free to reach out on LinkedIn. I'll be happy to connect.
That's awesome. Well, first thing first, Ivana, I have to thank you for being here. So thank you so much again, like for joining this episode. It was a wonderful one. I'm very happy about everything you said. I think like people will enjoy all the insights that you just gave. And well, I hope to see you again for another one. Who knows? But otherwise, I wish you a wonderful day. Take care and see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Data Flowcast. Check the show notes for links to everything mentioned today. If you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And leave us a 5-star review.